Welcome to the First Apostolic Church Podcast. Our church mission is to love as God loves, showing compassion to every soul, thus winning those souls and equipping them to be sent out to plant and to harvest. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope that you are blessed by today's podcast.
We're going to turn to the book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter number 4. And also, ladies, remember that next Saturday is Ladies' Day Out. All right? A little shopping, a little eating. Or maybe a little eating, a whole lot of shopping. I don't know. But the van will be leaving at 9 o'clock in the morning. If you need a ride, the van will be leaving the church here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Amen for that. And so you can come and be a part of that. Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to finish up this morning our series on the mission of the church. Here, again, the mission of the church that years ago that Bishop put pen to page was to love as God loves, showing compassion to every soul, thus winning those souls and equipping them to be sent out to plant and harvest. And so we're going to concentrate on that long last phrase and equipping them to be sent out to plant and to harvest here today. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11, starting with this particular verse. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or a equipped man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Again, we're going to be talking about equipping them to be sent out to plant and to harvest this morning. I'm going to ask God to help us today. Father, we need you this morning. God, in this service, I pray, Lord, that you would, God, educate us, Lord, through your word. Lord, that you would inspire us, Lord, through your word today. God, that it would find, Lord, a perfect place, Lord, of lodging, Lord, in our hearts and minds. Help it, God, be more, God, than a mission statement, but God, Lord, a mission, Lord, in movement. Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you do, Lord, here in this place this morning, in the love in the name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated today in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I want you to think back to your role as a parent, or if you've not been a parent today yet, think about a parent. And think about if your only role as a parent was to conceive and birth a child, and that was the end of your responsibility. Going to conceive the child, going to birth the child, and we're just going to kind of just let it do its thing. Just, you know, find its own way type of scenario. I dare to say that if that was the approach that we took to parenthood, Sister Cox, that there would be many fatalities whenever it comes to children. And possibly there would even be, if the child did make it, maybe more immature adults than what we even have in today's world and society as it is. But nonetheless, a common misconception of the church is that she exists solely just to win a soul. Solely just to win a soul. But the responsibility of the church goes beyond just winning lost souls. That is indeed a part, a great part and chunk of our existence here in the world. But it's also for the development. Amen. That's the reason why the Lord had disciples. It wasn't just that these folks were converted, but they were also discipled in how to order their lives and live their lives after they'd been born again of the water and of the Spirit, how to become functioning Christian adults in the network of the church, right? Amen. And so part of our responsibility as a church is then to somehow get people to a place where they develop and they can be used and they can be employed, you know, by the Lord and the works of the Lord and the work of the church for this thing to grow. Because as we know, one generation falls off and another generation comes on. And whenever I say fall off, I'm saying one generation passed away. And so there has to be this replenishing of a generation. That passes. There always got to be another group of people. I've said it 1,000 times. Brother Mason knows this to be true. Amen. We're going to have Brother Mason coming up here with a walker, you know, in a wheelchair to slide on the piano, to play the piano. That's not what you want. You want that there will be another generation coming up. And so that we want there to be a changing of faces of people that's teaching classes and a changing of faces that's working. You know, Brother Reese, we love that he cleans the church, but one of these days, you know, his knees are going to be bad and he's just not going to be, not going to be able to do what he does right now. And so you want a development and a new generation of people that's not just being won to God, but then being applied to positions and having their hands in the work of the Lord, right? And so you want that as a part of a church. Susan Mallory said it like this. She said, the point of church growth is not to collect new people and cage them with church programs. Said the goal of the church health is not to fatten up church members for show, but the church exists to equip people in order to release them back into the world, back even into the network of the church that are grounded in truth, all right, and then go into the community and then be dangerous for the gospel for the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. As imagine, if you will, imagine the 120 on the day of Pentecost being filled with the Holy Ghost, the 3,000 added to the church, and they all did nothing beyond that. If so, we wouldn't have the book of Acts. We wouldn't have the book of Acts. There would be no actions of the apostles, amen, to be related in the scripture if that's all that was accomplished. And so, yes, it should be the desire of the church. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Of course, last week was Easter Sunday, and I was talking to my wife on the way across town this morning. I said, was last Sunday Easter? And she says, yeah. I said, man, it already feels like it's been an eternity ago, just within a week. I said, but it should be the desire of the church, yes, to win souls, amen, but not just for us to win souls and then them to become spectators on a pew. That's not the purpose, by no means. Christianity doesn't need to become a spectator sport where there's a handful of the few that does the things and everybody else comes and watches the game. It's not the way it should be. We need to adopt a mentality that goes beyond that. One definition they said years ago, and I've used this before, but one definition they said of football that was relayed was kind of like this. It's 22 men down on the field, desperately in need of rest, and there's 20,000, 25,000 in the grandstands, desperately in need of exercise. Huh? All the spectators, there's 22 people down there that's doing the grunt work, right? Amen. And so there is a certain aspect that holds true in whatever you find, right? In whatever club or community endeavor that you're a part of, there's going to be some that's going to have their hands in the muck, and there's others that's just going to be there for whenever the confetti is thrown and the whistles are blown. All right, but the church doesn't need to be that type. We can have a all hands on deck type of mentality. Amen. Because the church is represented in many places of scripture, as you know, in the book of Ephesians, particularly as the body of Christ. And he says the body is many members, though yet it is one body. And those members, here's the fact, those members are functioning members. I mean, wouldn't it be just kind of crazy that all the fingers on your left hand were there, but they didn't do anything? Didn't serve a purpose, didn't function. They existed. They were, in essence, by all means, a part of the body, attached to the body, but they didn't function. It almost seemed a little bizarre, wouldn't it? To have certain things that were a part of your body that was attached to you, but they had no purpose. And so you don't want that type of mentality for the church, just to be attached to and a part of it, but have no purpose concerning it. All right, we are the body of Christ, functioning members. And so make no mistake about it that every person that is a part of a church, amen, and please understand this when I say this, but we are all by nature, to a certain degree, we are consumers. We consume. Even if my five fingers were on here and they had no purpose, they're still going to be consuming nutrients of this body. Right? Different things, different energy and stuff, they're going to be consuming different aspects of what comes into this body. Amen? But another distinguishable trait for being a Christian is not just the consumer aspect of us, but also the contributor aspect of us. That we don't just take from the body, so to speak, but we also give or we contribute to the body. And so the optimum position would be that we would give more than we would take. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm just saying that we would contribute or that we would have something to offer more than we would take from the body, all right? And as a matter of fact, I find out that people that are involved in church work are less likely to be consumers. Well, I went over like a flock of dogs, but that's what I've witnessed in 30-some-odd years of ministry. The people that are busy doing something are less likely to be consumers. They are the last one to need something. They're the last one, and I have no problem people picking up the phone call and saying, I need this, but they're the last ones to do that because they're just involved in the work. Amen. And so it's just one of those things. And so the footprint then of the kingdom of God, it can grow exponentially whenever we get to the place of the equipping stage, right? When they just don't come, but we equip them for doing stuff. If you had 10 souls that was added to a church of 50, and those souls were taught, and those souls were equipped to do the first part of the mission of being loving and compassionate and things like that, then the influence of that church has just grown, amen, as a result of teaching and equipping. It's still grown by 10, but it'll grow even more if there's the teaching and the equipping part that would accompany them being born again of the water and the spirit, because souls need to be, amen, developed. Amen. And the church then is going to grow. Let's say those 10 come. They grew in quantity by 10, but if there's no development, if there's no involvement beyond that, they may have grown in quantity by 10, but they've not necessarily grown in quality, amen, by 10. And so quite frankly, they may have decreased a little bit in quality because now there's 10 more consuming. All right? When there needs to be a contribution. And so our purpose then is not just so saved, but them taught, them developed, because the crux of the matter is this. It takes time to mentor. It takes time to develop anybody. It doesn't matter if it's in the workforce or whether it's in the church force. It takes time to do that, an investment of time, amen, to do that, amen. And so with the help of the Holy Ghost, with the help of God's Word, both of those things are excellent tools for teaching and equipping. And I know the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us in all truth, and I get that as long as we open ourselves to that. But sometimes it's good to have someone come alongside you that's already a little acquainted with this Spirit and with this Holy Ghost to try to give some teaching and guidance, amen, that might just be outside of a normal Wednesday or Sunday morning or Sunday night, to know how to apply these things. And while that's a real spiritual side, sometimes there's just practical sides of like, Brother Reese, this is where the broom is. And this is where the vacuum cleaner is. And this is how you plug it in. It's just practical things sometimes in the development, amen, of people, or in the development of people into certain things operating in and around the church. When we look at verse number 11, the Bible says that he gave, and that's speaking of the Lord, that he gave some of these different things. We talk about pastors and apostles and prophets and teachers and so on and so forth. That Christ gave these different roles in the ministry, amen, to the church. And there's one thing that all these have in common. whether it's a prophet or evangelist or pastor or teacher, amen, so on and so forth, they all have some type of interaction or handling, if you will, of the Word of God. These roles handle the Word of the Lord, amen. And so when we talk about these roles accomplishing the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, they do so by handling the Word of the Lord in these various areas. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, a verse that most are acquainted with and know, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is training in righteousness, that the man of God, and we could just as easily say the saint of God, whoever they are, so that that person may be perfect or equipped, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so verse number 13 of our text tells us that the overarching goals that we are trying to reach with is the perfection or the equipping of the saints. And so we have these different divisions of people that come into our life, amen, and we have some of those represented here in the church, and sometimes we have people come by and minister for us that may fulfill one of these offices that is not fulfilled in this church, but their purpose is to come along for instruction and training and all those things so that there may be the equipping of the saints, all right? And so that's what we're going toward. Look at Ephesians 4, verse number 13 again, if you will. It says, till or until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a equipped man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so some of the ultimate goal is we want there to be a unity in the faith, all right? Now, and this is this. Faith many times can be something that you exercise as far as belief, but faith is also like a group or of standards, right? A group of something that people believe in. Our faith would be like the repentance and the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost of faith, till we all come into the unity then of that faith and a knowledge, right? We want to equip people. We want to instruct them to have a knowledge of the Lord. We want people to be able to, after they receive the Holy Ghost, be able to explain what happened to them, why that's essential, why that's important, right? Amen. To be able to lead somebody else down the same path. And then ultimately, the perfect, the mature, or the equipped man, all right, to reach this place of in God that we have been equipped and we have grown up in the things of God and that we're operating to the best of our ability. As they used to say, we're operating on all cylinders for the Lord. We are thoroughly furnished by the Word and the things that we have been taught. And we get that through the Word. We get that through the Spirit. When we look at the next couple of verses in Ephesians 4, we get this thing through the Word. That's one reason why it's important to be here. Because there's training, there's instruction in righteousness that happens, all right? But also in verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, right? You know a counterfeit, you know a falsity when you see one. Why? Because you have acquainted yourself with what isn't false. You have acquainted yourself with what is genuine. And so you're not going to be tossed. You're not going to be just chasing every little newfangled revelation out here that doesn't have nothing to do with Scripture just because somebody notable said it. No, you're not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And so it's important. Part of the training, part of the equipping in becoming a Christian is so that we'll be aware of what false doctrine is, what craftiness is, what deception is, right? And it's going to get worse. You've heard me say it before. In Matthew 24, whenever Jesus was speaking to his disciples and they asked him, Lord, what are going to be the signs of your coming? What are going to be the signs of the end? The first thing out of Jesus' mouth is that there is going to be deception. The last days is going to be filled with deception. And he says, so put that in your mind. One of the indicators of the last days, one of the indicators of my coming will be a plethora of deception that will be taking place across the land. Folks, we want to be equipped so that we are not deceived. Huh? We want to be equipped that we are not deceived. Equipped with the word of the Lord. Amen. And to the place, God says that there's the speaking of the truth in love. Because the truth of God's word sometimes, listen, it can be abrasive. It can prick. Huh? It can prick. Amen. Us in our lives. So all by itself. So we speak the truth in love, but this is our vice for development, the word of God. Jesus in his prayer, his high priestly prayer of John 17:17, you hear it on like some radio stations. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy by thy truth. How does that happen? Through your word. Your word is truth. And so when these apostles, prophets, all these different ones handle the word of the Lord rightly, it's going to provide an environment for things to grow, amen, up, amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ, to his stature, amen, and according to the Lord. The Bible also says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Right? So the word is what develops us from babies to maturity of adulthood. The milk helps and is a goal in that. I don't know the last time I seen an infant chewing on a filet mignon and a T-bone steak. It might suck some juice out of it, but that'd probably be about the extent of it. No, it makes good sense that we start with the milk, and as they grow older, we begin to introduce other things. And then whenever they come to adulthood, they have the ability because of the teeth now and the structure of their digestive system to be able to handle a man's steak. But the problem is when you're still feeding milk to adults. When you're still feeding milk to what should be not babies anymore in Christ, but adults in Christ. All right? Amen. And so, because it just kind of behooves us, or it betrays, it would seem, the normal trajectory, amen, of Christian life, of us growing up in the things of God. And so, the way that some have interpreted verse number 12 of our text has been based upon its punctuation in that these ministerial roles were for the three main purposes, like apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, all that were for the purpose of perfecting the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. But these three things, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, are not just related to the five roles of verse number 11. In many regards, this is a series or a progression that takes place in Scripture where one aspect is built up on the other aspect. So the five rows of evangelists and teachers and pastors and so on and so forth that we find in verse number 11, these are rows for the purpose of equipping the saints by the word of God, for the work of the ministry. They equip the saints, number one, these five rows equip the saints. Using the tool of God's word, they equip the saints, and the saints then are equipped for the work of the ministry. So now we have then saints, because they've been equipped, that are in a position that they can do the work of the ministry. Well, Brother McGee, then why ain't everybody a pre-Karen evangelist? Because again, I think it's more of an archaic type of situation that whenever someone said ministry, that's all they equated it to, is that a preacher or somebody evangelized or a pastor or a teacher. But ministry isn't that. Whenever you read the word ministry in your Bibles, most of the time it comes from a word that basically means this: serve. To serve. You know what? Brother Reese serves. Fred, when he mows the lawn, serves. Bro Alex, yesterday here putting up the security system along with me, serves. People that play instruments, serve. People that works the nursery, serve. Let me say it like this then. Brother Reese has a ministry. The nursery workers have a ministry. The pantry workers have a ministry. The musicians have a ministry. The purpose is this, is for the equipping. Let the fivefold, as we oftentimes call it, the fivefold ministry, equip, all right, the saints with the word for the purpose then that they would have a ministry of service of some kind that relates to the body of Christ. It's a progression. It's a progression. And so we want people involved in ministry. And look what happened. The last thing that's in the list of the three, perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And then what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Because the word edifying means to build up. And so whenever this person, you know, comes into the church and becomes attached to the church and finds a ministry in the church, that helps the overall, the building up of the overall church. You understand what I'm saying today? And so if we just have people that come but never get plugged in to ministry, then we lack an edification principle for the church. Amen. Someone say amen. It is crucial. One builds upon the other. Now, you say, that doesn't mean that Pastor McGee can't equip someone, and that doesn't mean Pastor McGee can't do some other service besides the pastoral ministry, all right? Amen. That I can't do something else around the church besides that. I do other stuff around the church besides just standing behind a pulpit and preaching. That doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that I can't have some type of edification for the body of Christ through and what I do, all right? That's fine. Amen. So I can at the same time equip. I, at the same time, people that serve as teachers can still do other types of ministry work and help build up the body of Christ. Amen. But it does say that I need to be focused on the equipping. Huh? Being a part of one of those, I need to be focused upon equipping, right? For the perfecting or the equipping of the saints. Those have been taken out of Adam and put in Christ, the saints. Because when we look at the second four in verse number 12, again, it's referring to the saints doing the work of the ministry. The saints for the work, all right, of the ministry. And then those ministries, basically is how it's working. Those ministries then is for the edifying the body. So we have preaching ministries and all this, equipping the saints. Then we have the saints doing work of ministry. Then we have those ministries that are now then as collective divisions edifying the body of Christ. Amen. It's not just, you know, starting, you know, a program or doing something like that just for the sake of doing it, but for the purpose of edification of the body of Christ. Amen. One, in turn, helps the other. And so with that, whenever we think about equipping, it takes time, right? It takes time. And, yeah, some things take more time than others if they're more technical. It takes time. But the purpose of equipping, you know, it's like sometimes I know how it is. I'll speak about me personally. It's just easier for me just to do it than to take the time to show somebody else how to do it. I'm just get it done, you know what I mean? I know how to do it. You know, it's going to take me longer. You know, I have to set up a date. You know, I just get it done. And that seems like, yeah, that makes sense. But if we ever want to scale this thing more than where it's at, then we got to take time to show somebody else. And when we do, when they know it, I don't have to know it or necessarily do it. It frees whoever used to do it to do something else. Right? Amen. And you know what that means then? Then whatever now they can do, Joe over here that learned how to do what that person used to do, he can do it the same time that that person's doing something else, and you got two things going on getting done where you used to just have one thing happening and getting done. And it looks like, again, it takes time, but in the long run, you're going to gain time. And you're going to have greater impact whenever there's been equipping and training that has went on for one another. What do you think the whole thing was of 12 people following the Lord around? What do you think that was? That was equipping. 3.5 years after his ministry began, it was going to be over. He knew that. And you know what he's saying? He says, I'm not going to leave the earth without a witness. So they slept where he slept. They walked where he walked. They were at many of the healings. Many of the times whenever bread was dispersed, they were there whenever he taught at the different areas along the seashore. And what was going on? Equipping. That's the reason why whenever you see he has ascended into the heavens and you start to read in the book of Acts, you read some of the very same lessons that Jesus taught. Some of the very same things that he spoke. How did that happen? Because they spent time together. They spent time together. And whenever he's gone, they're able to carry on the work that was spearheaded by him because there was a equipping aspect. Huh? Not only that, now we don't have Jesus that's just, oh, he's traveling over here to Galilee and he's going over here to Bethesda and he's going over here to Capernaum. Now we have 12 that whenever the persecution of the church happened, there's this disbursement of people that have been in time with equipping with the Lord, and the message goes further than it ever went with just Jesus alone, because they were equipped and sent out, so to speak, to plant the harvest. Equipped and sent out. Amen. And then, of course, they edify the body of Christ. The whole body is edified by the work of ministry that is done by the individual sectors and groups that do things around here. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, look what the scripture goes on to say. From whom, the whom is Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which... Everybody read these next three. Okay, next three words with me. Every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the whole body, yes, is, it descends or is attached to in some way to Christ. He is the initiator of this body. And we're joined together, all right? It's a sense of unity of faith. It's a sense of actual unity, all right? We're joined together. We're compacted by, look, every joint supplieth, every joint. Every part, if I can say the work of the ministry, every part of the work of the ministry, make increase of the body unto the edifying of that body in love. It takes everyone. It takes everyone. A church is not the church because of the pastor. Church is not the church because of the bishop. Church is not the church because of the elders. Church is not a church because of the young people. A church is a church because of all these different sectors and age demographics involved in a work of the ministry. That said, I'm not just going to come and just be one that shows up. I'm getting my hands in the harvest. Amen. So a misunderstanding of the old paradigm years ago, and this is the way it used to be. This is the way that even the mentality of churches were, even pastors were, and pastors made help formulate this even somewhat, is that the old paradigm was, is that the pastor did everything in the church. That's the way it used to be. He should preach, he should teach, he should visit the sick, He should follow up with guests. He should teach home Bible studies. He should mow the lawn. He should make the bulletin. He should go to door-to-door outreach. He should pick up people for church in the van. He should organize the potlucks. He should buy all the materials needed for the potluck. He should go with the outings. He should clean the church. He should administer all the financial needs of the church, make all purchases, decide of them, go get whatever it was that was purchased. And I realize that is the case a lot of times with home missionary works. It's starting out with just the pastor. But that's not God's vision for the way that it should be always. Amen. But it's for other people through their development and equipping that come along and says, you know what? We can have a group of people that can visit the sick. Or we have someone over here that can follow up on people that were guests to the church. What is that? Number one, that gives people investment in the body. Investment in the body. You might see someone come along and, you know, just be real here for a moment. You don't have to be all super spiritual on me. But you can go by and see someone, you know, that might be in a parking lot backing out at Walmart and they kind of nudge another vehicle. You're like, man, I just can't believe that. But if that was your vehicle they nudged, I'm going to raise the ante just a little bit. Why? Because you got money invested in that vehicle. You don't in Joe Blow's vehicle over there that you don't own. Because you're more concerned about things that you're invested in. Yeah. Trash on the floor around here don't mean anything to anybody that ain't invested in the church. But if you're invested in it, this is your church. Your church is the same as my church. So I'm going to take pride in picking that up off the floor and taking it to a trash can. Because I... Amen? And so whenever my church has something, I show up. Whenever my church is in need of something, we have a campaign for raising funds for something, I give. Huh? Well, glory. Well, hallelujah. Whenever we think of, and again, the paradigm used to be pastor just did everything, and that's gotten a whole lot better over the years. That would be similar to saying this. You have a body, and you have a heart in your body. But I'm going to make the heart that's in your body not just responsible for your circulation. I'm going to make your heart responsible for your respiration. And I'm going to make your heart responsible for your digestion. And I'm going to make your heart responsible to be your nervous system. And Sister Margaret, I don't know about you, but I don't want my heart taking care of my digestive system and my circulatory system. You're like, Brother McGee, that's bogus. It is, but that is sometimes the same mindset. We want a portion of the body to take care of all of the systems of the church. Amen. D.L. Moody said it like this. He said, it's better to put 10 men to work than to do the work of 10 men. It is. You've heard my little Chinese proverb over and over again. Many hands make light work. That's what we involved, want to involve. And so these five rows are for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting, again, also can be translated equipping, maturing of the saints. It's a word that means to make something or someone completely adequate or sufficient for something else. All right? Amen. And so that idea then is that there's going to be a change. There's going to be a development. Amen. It's the same word, that word for perfecting or equipping, is the same word that was used in the idea of mending nets, which the disciples were very well acquainted with because many of them were fishermen. It's the same idea of mending nets and setting bones in Scripture. That word derives from those two spheres of life in New Testament Scripture because in both of those, there must be adjustments made to the items, all right, in order to gain use again. Those disciples are over there mending nets. They're getting all the debris and the clutter off the net, right? They might be patching some hole or taking a part of a net and putting it in there and patching up a hole. And why are they doing that? They're doing this perfecting. They're doing this mending, if you will, for what? For the purpose that net will be able to be used again. And so even the setting of a bone, you have a broken bone and that doctor's going to like put you in a cast or do whatever he needs to do and say 6 weeks, and he's doing all that, the prep, he's perfecting this for the purpose that in the future you'll be able to use that arm again. It's for the purpose of use. And so that's the mentality behind perfecting. Amen. The Greek authority J.H. Thayer says it like this. It means to take one, to make one what he ought to be. And so we've looked at this morning. That requires the word. That requires growth at different stages in our life that will help qualify us for different works of ministry. You've seen people, they've come in sometimes even into factories and plants, and they've worked their way up. Right? And so they started at the base and they got more knowledge and more equipping and more understanding of different aspects then, and they moved up into another row and more equipping and more, and they move up into another row. Sometimes that's what takes place in church. You come into the church, it's not like you just come in here and then you go to here. No, but there's places where we get our feet wet. We go into the shallow end of the pool. Amen. We're not in the deep end, but we're still in the pool. Huh? We're still in the pool. And so we're getting ourselves acclimated to some things. We're learning some things. We're growing in God. We're growing in our lifestyle. We're growing in our spiritual development. And that begins then to open up more than doors for us of involvement, of ministry that helps edify the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. And each one complements the other. That's the way it should be. Right? We need all aspects. They all should complement one. The cleaning crew complements the pantry crew, right? The yard crew complements then the music crew. Why? Because this whole thing is a part of us. This whole thing. Amen. It's not like the music crew is better than the lawn crew. Huh? Or those that teach are better than those that clean the church. No, they complement one another. You go on and let the cleaning crew go on vacation for a month and not do anything around here. And you go in the bathroom with it overflowing with garbage there, and you see crumbs on the floor here, there, and you go on and do that. And then tell me about how they're not important. You go on and just tell Fred, just take the summer off, and we walk in here with weeds up to our waist. And you drive up to your church and have a sense of pride coming up to something like that. You tell me it's not important. You go on and come in here and let's just dismiss all of the music for a month. And let's sing a cappella. Compliment one another. Compliment one another. Amen. All the different roles. Let Sister Mason stop doing the book work. We'll get to it when we get to it. We come in here and sit in the dark for church with eviction notices on our windows. Amen. It's funny, but it's true. So souls are ready for the work of the ministry once they've been trained by the Word of God. Again, there's a practical side to be trained for the work. A person's only as good as their tools. I'd hate to have a carpenter build my house when the only thing that he had was a crescent wrench. He's out there whacking those nails as best he can with that crescent wrench. He's telling me there's going to be a few delays, but I get it. He only works with the tools he has. Amen. And over the years, we have bettered some of our tools that have made some aspects of ministry around here easier than what they used to be. Because the tools had gotten better. But one of the tools then of the church may be our training the person that has not yet received the training that they need. And practical training, though, listen to me well, practical training will never trump spiritual training. Amen. James chapter number 1 and verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Everybody say work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. That first verse, verse 23, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, oftentimes in my mind, I like add words to the scripture. I know. I shouldn't be doing this. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, is always what goes through my mind. Yet the Bible comes around to tell us, but not a doer of the work. Here the word prepares us to be a doer of the work. And the work of ministry, the work of ministry the saint should be equipped for is then for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ. We're trained, if you will, for construction, if I can say it like that. That's the way that we should be trained, for the planting and the harvesting, for something constructive, the planting and the harvesting. That's what we want to train one another for. That's what the different sectors in the church need to be training one another for. Let me say this as a side note. The many different sectors of ministry in the church should not be training new individuals for destructive work. Someone say glory. What that means is this, the different sectors of ministry in the church, because you have, you know, you have the music people, you have the cleaning people, you have the sign person, which is just one right now, but Brother Ethan does a good job. Matter of fact, I looked back there today and I seen, there's just one word, like one word, it says soon. And I see drop down a little bit, it says Jesus. I was like, yeah. What I'm saying is, when people come to these different sectors of ministry, and Brother Reese, we got new ones coming in, you know, to clean the church. We're training them for constructive matters, not deconstructive. What's that mean? That means we're not training them to be gossipers. We're not training them to be backstabbers. We're not training them to be talebearers. Because it's easy to get a group of people in a sector of ministry and loose lips begin to sink ships. We're complimenting one another. Huh? We're building up. This is for construction. All right? For the planting. For the harvesting. Amen. Amen. It's been my experience of those that went before me. Amen. Sometimes destruction happens. Sometimes even whenever portions or factions of the body have too much time on their hands. You have to agree with me. I've done the research for the past several years. Whenever people have less to do or they have idle hands or they're not involved, many times it's the ones that point out, you know what? I don't like that about the church. Again, because it's easy to criticize what you're not involved in. I'd do it this way. Come on and join us and get your hands in the work then. Sometimes people have great advice about how what they would do if they would do it, but they're not doing anything. Well, I know y'all, I'm not trying to be offensive today, but I am trying to be a pastor this morning. Sometimes that's where it's at. Well, I wouldn't do it like that. Well, by all means, we're open to suggestions. Show us how. Amen. I know these are tenuous things. Amen. But sometimes a negative voice can be the uninvolved voice. And so we can't equip people that don't want equipped. The whole book of Ephesians 4 starts out with the first verse talking about this book being to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's who the letter was addressed to. Those that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so the second phrase brings clarification to the saints. It's those saints that are seeking, that are wanting, desiring, right? God in their life want to be a part, but not just want to be a part of just what the practical things are around here, but want to be a part of his body, right? It's not just being a part. This is not a country club. This is not the Knights of Columbus. This is not the Eagles. We're not taking up membership fees, and Johnny's band's not going to be here to play on Saturday night. Well, glory, I feel like I'm walking a lonely road today. Amen. And so it's the faithful in Christ Jesus to the saints. We want them to practice what they've been a product of. You can stay with me this morning. I'll close as quickly as possible. And I think talent and ability are great. People have predispositions to certain skills, talents, and abilities, and I think that's wonderful. And I think, you know, that whenever we have our lives and whatever our lives may be centered around, even outside of the church, that God has given us our abilities and talents that we could incorporate in our service to the church. I get that. Listen to me well, though. I'd rather have a passionate person than a talented person. I'd rather have a person that can plug into the anointing of the Lord and what God wants, that has all the skills in the world. Amen. Because you can have people give great oratory, but if it's not anointed, who cares? And you can have people play maybe the best music and not miss a note, but if God's Spirit isn't working through that, who cares? Amen. Because listen, I've been in this all my life. You know what the pulse I'm getting at this stage of my life? That sometimes we have come to a place that we're wanting to make the church more polished than we are passionate. Mm-hmm. We want to look good, sound good, get the compliments of our peers about how good. But if it's void of its passion, the passion of Christ, it's a hollow drum. It's a hollow drum. Paul told Timothy, who appears to be the pastor of the Ephesian church, in 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, "And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what? Faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." In other words, Timothy, as pastor, equip these faithful men, these saints, faithful saints, who will be able to do the work of the ministry, service of some aspect, and that service, those ministries, will help edify the body of Christ. I think over the years we have grown in that. Brother Malone, and still yet, Zach and Malin do Friday night Bible studies, right? Sister Jen does the food pantry. And I'm not over here right alongside her most times. She's doing it. I'm not here every Monday as Reese and Ray and Malin and Jen and the rest that I might not know all of them of. See, that's even not knowing who all's involved makes me happy. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. It's just that it happens. Right? I come here early on a prayer night there night, because it had been forever since I had my iPad open to like the soundboard, and I didn't know if it still worked. And I was trying to figure out a little bit of what to do. That really wasn't disappointing to me. You know what that means? Someone else does it without me having to know. Amen. And so over time, there's been things like that have happened and taken place. I don't have to have my hand involved in everything. But listen, whenever we do anything, this is the way I approach it. Whenever a bishop makes calls to people, he's calling them on behalf of the First Apostolic Church. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, you're doing on behalf of the First, or at least I think that's the way you should approach it, on behalf of the First Apostolic Church. You're not like a lone ranger saying, yeah, I'm doing this and attach me to it. No, I'm doing it on behalf of the church. Go visit somebody in the hospital, go there early before they have surgery and pray with them. I'm pastor, yeah, but I'm there on behalf of the First Apostolic Church. What's that mean? That means I'm there on behalf of everybody. I'm just going as an ambassador for everyone. So whenever you do whatever you do, you're just doing it for the purpose for the whole. Huh? I don't know if we should hand out treats or, you know, do something to make somebody happy right now. Let's pray. God, I love you, Jesus, today. God, help us, Lord, not to succeed in every other area, Lord, and fail in this matter. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, God, not just to become a part, Lord, in the sense of born again in water and spirit, and never become a part, Lord, in activity and work. I pray, Jesus, today, and help us, Lord, on this side, Lord, to be willing, God, to take the time, Lord, to equip, the time to listen, the time to instruct, the time to show. God, I pray, oh Lord Jesus, God, for there's other generations that come up after us and another generation passes on. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, for this thing to continue, not should it just be the declaration of prayer from one generation to another, but even the works, Lord Jesus, we praise you for your mighty acts and your excellent greatness, God. The work should even be, Lord, a carrying on, Lord, effect as well. I pray, God, until the whole world knows, help us, God, to love as you love, showing compassion to every soul, thus equipping those souls to be sent out to plant and to harvest, not just even within this locality. God, let there be missionaries sent from this church. God, let there be evangelists sent from this church. Let there be people that would start, Lord, home mission works in a city that does not have a church. God, sent from here, teachers, I pray, God, pastors of other works. God, let it be, Lord Jesus, ascending station. God, let it not just be judged on its seating capacity, but on its sending capacity. I pray, oh Lord Jesus, in your name I pray and love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the church say amen. Hallelujah. Church tonight at 6. Amen. Please remember again, ladies outing next Saturday. The van is leaving at 9. Amen. And all of those that hold a key to this church have a meeting right over here, because it's important, because I don't want to be getting 1,000 911. I don't want the police have to be calling me 1,000 times. So we're going to try to get everybody up to snuff here. It can happen a few times. All right. We won't say anything. Next time we're going to tar and feather you. All right. But anyway, so we're going to go over here and get some equipping, get some instruction, all right, on a few of these things. So if you have a key to the church.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about our services and activities, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the username FACMC. Again, that's FACMC. Thank you, and have a blessed day.